To read from God's word now, and we're continuing our study of Joseph in Genesis, and we're reading this morning from the end of chapter 46, so verse 28, and we're going to read down to the end of chapter 47. That's Genesis chapter 46, verse 28, down to the end of chapter 47. Let's listen to God's word together this morning. He had sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to show the way before him in Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen. Then Joseph prepared his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, in Goshen. He presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face and know that you are still alive." Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and tell Pharaoh and will say to him, 'My brothers and my father's household, who were in the land of Canaan, have come to me. And the men are shepherds, for they have been keepers of livestock, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have.' When Pharaoh calls you and says, 'What is your occupation?' you shall say, 'Your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth, even until now, both we and our fathers, in order that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians.' So Joseph went in and told Pharaoh, 'My father and my brothers, with their flocks and herds, and all they possess, have come from the land of Canaan. And they are now in the land of Goshen.' And from his brothers he took five men and presented them to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to his brothers, 'What is your occupation?' And they said to Pharaoh, 'Your servants are shepherds, as our fathers were.' They said to Pharaoh, 'We have come to sojourn in the land, for there is no pasture for your servants' flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. And now please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen.' Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them settle in the land of Goshen, and if you know any able men among them, put them in charge of my livestock.' Then Joseph brought in Jacob his father and stood him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, 'How many days of the years of your life?' And Jacob said to Pharaoh, 'The days of the years of my sojourning are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their sojourning.' And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from the presence of Pharaoh. Then Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with food, according to the number of their dependents. Now there was no food in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan in exchange for the grain that they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when the money was all spent in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, 'Give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? For our money is gone.' And Joseph answered, 'Give your livestock and I will give you food in exchange for your livestock, if your money is gone.' So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them food in exchange for the horses, the flocks, the herds, and the donkeys. He supplied them with food in exchange for all their livestock that year. And when that year was ended, they came to him the following year and said to him, 'We will not hide from my lord that our money is all spent, that our herds, the herds of livestock, are my lord's. There is nothing left in sight of my lord but our bodies and our land. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for food, and we with our land will be servants to the Pharaoh. And give us seed that we may live and not die, and that the land may not be desolate. So Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for all the Egyptians sold their fields because the famine was so severe on them. The land became Pharaoh's, and as for the people, he made servants of them from one end of Egypt to the other. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had a fixed allowance from Pharaoh and lived on that allowance. Therefore they did not sell their land. Then Joseph said to the people, "Behold, I have this day bought you and your land for Pharaoh. Now that here is the seed for you, you shall sow the land. And at the harvest you shall give a fifth to Pharaoh, and four-fifths shall be yours to own, as seed for the field, and as food for yourselves and your households, and as food for your little ones." And they said, "You have saved our lives. May it please my Lord, we will be servants to Pharaoh." So Joseph made it a statute concerning the land of Egypt, and it stands to this day that Pharaoh should have the fifth. The land of the priests alone did not become Pharaoh's. Thus Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they gained possessions in it, and they were fruitful and multiplied greatly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the days of Jacob, the years of his life, were 147 years. And when the time drew near that Israel must die, he called on his son Joseph and said to him, "If I have now found favour in your sight, put your hand under my thigh and promise to deal kindly and truly with me. Do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. Carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place." He answered, "I will do as you have said." And he said, "Swear to me." And he swore to him. Then Israel bowed himself upon the head of his bed. Amen. Amen. A long reading this morning, but there's a lot in it for us to unpack. I love just how scripture works. Just a very small thing that we could so easily read over. How old was Joseph when he ended up in slavery? We're told he's 17. So Jacob, Joseph's dad, had 17 years with him before he went into slavery. And what do we read? That Jacob lived in the land of Egypt for 17 years. He got 17 years with him before slavery, and he got 17 years with him in Egypt. I just love how these wee things work together, and there's so many things that we read over and we miss, but it's just one of these incredible little things that we see in Scripture. And again, we see the wisdom that God had given Joseph in how to navigate through this famine and this hard time, and the wisdom and that Joseph was given to be able to counsel Pharaoh. It was just incredible. I don't really want to focus on that this morning, though. There's three things that I want us to pull out from our scripture reading this morning. Another three-point sermon. There you go. I'm getting used to this Church of Scotland minister stuff. And the first is this: a father's tender heart. That's the first point. A father's tender heart is our first point that we are going to look at this morning. We saw how much Jacob loved his son Joseph when we started this study series. We saw how much he loved him. He loved Joseph so much. And we see the heartbreak that Jacob goes through. Whenever we read of Jacob after he'd lost Joseph until he finds Joseph is death. He speaks about dying. We see the broken heart that Jacob has. This broken heart he has because of the loss of his son Joseph. And he's been speaking about dying, about going down to Sheol and not finding peace in death. But now, in verse 30 of chapter 46, we read that he says, "Now let me die since I have seen your face." And there's this shift that we can see in Jacob, that he goes from this broken-hearted man to this man that has found peace because his son Joseph is still alive. This bitterness that he had in his heart, it has been transformed into this heart that is peace. That is, he's saying, "Do you know what? I'm fulfilled now." He's found fulfillment because he has laid his eyes upon his son Joseph once again. And Judah, we read, is given the simple task to go ahead of Jacob or Israel and the rest of the family and the household. And off he goes, and he's to find Joseph and tell Joseph to meet them in Goshen. So he goes off to meet Jacob in Goshen. Could you imagine how Jacob and how Joseph must have felt? How they must have felt. They hadn't seen each other in years. And as they get closer and closer to that meeting point, they probably felt further and further away. Could you imagine what that must have been like to be a father or to be a son and to not have seen your father or your son in so many years? You wondered, would you ever see them again? And here comes this moment that we read of. Could you imagine how they felt? When I, before I came to Sandy Hills, I had the pleasure of going on a road trip with some of my pals around the States. One of my mates was getting married in South Carolina. I think I've told you that before. And we went on this road trip and it lasted 2 weeks. Becca and Joel stayed at home. Malachi wasn't around then, so it was just Becca and Joel. But off I went with my pals for 2 weeks. It was great fun. Really good. But I missed them so much. I missed wee Joel so much. It was only 2 weeks I was away for, but it felt like 2 years. Every morning, every day, they would FaceTime me and I would get to see them. And that was great. It was such a wonderful thing to be able to see them. But actually, I think in some ways it made it feel harder because I kept seeing them and realizing how much that I missed them. And coming back after 2 weeks, I gave Joel such a big hug. I think I nearly broke the wee man. But I missed him so much. And that was only after 2 weeks. And Joseph gets ready for this reunion. After over 20 years, he is about to see his dad. 20 years had passed since they had seen each other. The last thing that Jacob had said to Joseph was, go and check on your brothers and come back and report to me. I wonder if Jacob ever played over in his head, I wish, if only I hadn't sent him, if only I had sent someone else, if only I had just waited to see how they were getting on, if only I hadn't sent Joseph away and I'd kept him here with me, this would never have happened. We would never have gone 20 years without seeing each other. I wonder if that ever went through Jacob's head. And then we have this most beautiful verse in 29. Joseph presented himself to Jacob and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. I love that word, that phrase, a good while. A good while. And we see just how tender a heart the father had for his son. They were crying and they held each other. Could you imagine what that must have been like, that moment? And here we see the father's tender heart. We saw how much he loved Joseph when he lavished good stuff upon Joseph before Joseph was sold into slavery. But here we see nothing's changed. They held on and they cried for a good while. And then Jacob said, I've got peace, I've got fulfillment, I could die now. I've seen that you are still alive. Sometimes we have such a wrong impression of who God the Father is. People either think that he doesn't exist, or if he does exist, that he's this distant, angry God who wants nothing to do with them and they want nothing to do with him. But nothing could be more wrong. God is such a tender heart. He loves his people so much. He shows his love in this, that he sent Jesus to die on the cross in our place. I came across this beautiful hymn that was written in 1916 this week by a guy called René Brouwer. And this is what I just love these words. I've been reflecting on them this week. Love is a treasure that gold cannot buy. God's fullest measure gave Jesus to die. Purchased salvation on Calvary's tree. Let your heart be ever singing, He loves me. Grace and pardon He offers you today. Full salvation and comfort on life's way. Take Him now and forevermore be free. Let your heart be always singing that He loves me. It is such an amazing thing, such a life-giving thing, such an empowering thing to be able to say that God loves me. Yes, we know John 3:16 that for God so loved the world, but you need to get past being able to say He loved the world to be able to say that God, You love me so much that You gave me Your only Son. You loved me so much that You gave Jesus in my place. It's for you. He has such a heart for you. He wants to be in relationship with you. You see, we have been separated from God by the issue and the problem of sin. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life. Do you know how happy God is when someone puts their hope and trust in Him, when someone comes to Him for the forgiveness of their sins, when someone is reconciled with Him, when someone puts their hope and trust in Jesus, do you know how happy God is? Do you know what happens? There is a party that takes place in heaven. How amazing is that? You see, God, our Father, is like the father in the prodigal son who is waiting and watching for his lost people to come back to Him. And what happens when his lost children return home? They are lavished with gifts and love upon them. They get the ring, they get the cloak, they get the sandals on their feet. The fattened calf is killed for them so that they can have a party. And we read that all of heaven rejoices when a sinner comes to faith. When was the last time that we made heaven rejoice? When was the last time you told someone about Jesus because He loves them? When was the last time that you and I played a part in heaven rejoicing and having a party because a sinner came to faith? God loves His people. And He loves us so much that He couldn't leave us in the place where He found us, dead in sin. But He gave His own Son, Jesus, as a sacrifice in our place so that we can have everlasting life and know His tender heart. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. And the God that we worship, He loves you. So we see this Father's tender heart. And then we see in this passage this morning, our second point, that they are blessed in the waiting. They are blessed in the waiting. So God's ultimate plan, we know, because we've journeyed this the last number of weeks, was that He was preparing a place for His people. He called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, leave where you are and go to the place I will show you. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. And through you, all nations will be blessed. And off Abraham went. He took his household and off they went. And we see this momentum being gathered, that they're becoming a greater and greater people, a more blessed and more blessed people. Then in Genesis 15, as we said a couple of weeks ago, God says to Abraham that this is the land you're going to get, but actually there's going to be 400 years where you're going to be sojourners in a place that is not your land. But as we see, God would provide for them. I love how we read somewhere in this passage this morning that they were just sojourners here. Yeah, verse 4, we have come to sojourn in the land. We've not come to set up camp here, Joseph's family say. We've not come to make this our home. We know that God has a place for us. We're just passing through here. I love the faith that they had. And again, at the end, we see with Israel, when he's speaking to Joseph, you have to take me out of here, because what did God say to him last week? That I'll be with you when you go down to Egypt. I'll make you a great nation, but I'll bring you back up again. And Joseph's going to hand us, he's going to close your eyes. And Jacob believed what God said, because we read at the end of chapter 47, take me out of here. Don't let my bones rest here. Place me with our fathers. The faith that they had. But they were blessed in the waiting. They were in a season of waiting. You know, God goes before us. But God is here with us right now. Yes, he goes before us, but he is with us right now. And we have the promised assurance of his presence. His people were waiting for a land that flowed with milk and honey. They knew that they were going to get this place. This land was going to be theirs. But until the time was right, until this season of waiting, which we know was going to be 400 years, they would wait, but they would be blessed as they waited. So what we read, they got the best of the land. The whole of Egypt is before you. So verse 6 says, the land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. God wants what's best for you. And God's plans are what is best for you. We read in Exodus chapter 1. Now this is just after, this is after Joseph has died. And they've been in Egypt for a good number of time now. In Exodus 1 we read this. Now a new king arose over Egypt, and he said to his people, behold, the people of Israel are too many, and they are too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape the land. They were too many and too mighty. Why? Because God had prospered them even in Egypt. Even in Egypt. And verse 27 in chapter 47 of Genesis, we've read this morning. Then Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they gained possessions in it. They were fruitful and multiplied greatly. Even in Egypt, even in the midst of a famine, God can bless his people. Why? Because he has unlimited resources. There is nothing that is impossible for him. They were blessed big time. They grew mighty. They grew many. They were fruitful. They gained possessions. Why? Because they deserved it? Absolutely not. If you look at just the short track record of Jacob's children, Reuben and Judah and Simeon and the likes of that, they absolutely did not deserve the blessings that they were receiving just now. So why did they receive it? Why did God bless them? Because God is faithful to his promise, and God loves to lavish gifts upon his people. God loves to display his glory through his people. What we see in Scripture, Gideon, the smallest man from the smallest tribe, from the smallest family in the smallest tribe. That's who God chose. That's who God chose to use and show his might through. The biggest persecutor the early church saw in Saul. That's who God chose and God used to grow his church. In the middle of a famine, God is blessing his people. We're reading here. They are growing, they're fruitful, they gain possessions because God is with them. Calvary's Hill, the place of death, the place of the skull. God would do the unthinkable, and he would break death through the giving of his son and the raising of Jesus again. And actually the grave, that empty grave, what was the place and the symbol of death, the empty grave now becomes the symbol of hope for God's people, because the grave and the tomb could not contain Jesus, and he rose again. And could you imagine the year 2020, when a global pandemic is sweeping across our world, when churches have been told they had to close their doors because we couldn't gather in person anymore. Is God on the move 100%? Why? Because he said he's going to build his church. But the other thing is, we're seeing glimpses of hope here and there. People coming to faith here and there as they see church online, as they hear the gospel for the first time. You see, the enemy tried to close our doors, but all that happened in there is God deployed his church further into the world, and God's mission is reaching further now than it ever has before, into homes that it never reached before, as people scroll through Facebook, as people log on to YouTube or Twitter or whatever it is. They've been impacted by God's people gathering together in worship. Even in the midst of a famine, we see God's people being blessed and grow and multiply. Could I dare say the same thing, that even in the midst of this global pandemic, God is still on the move and we are blessed and his kingdom is advancing? We've said over the last number of weeks that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for his people. And what a hope and an assurance that gives us. But what about now? We know there's a place coming for us, but what about until we get there? So for us, we are in a season of waiting. Jesus said, I'm going to return and I'll judge the living and the dead. And the church has been waiting for Jesus to return since he ascended. And we know he is coming back, but we wait for him. So what do we do in this season of waiting? Well, we see from the Great Commission, we have been sent to go. Go into the world, make disciples, preach the gospel, tell people about Jesus. And we're waiting. And in some senses, we're waiting to get back to our building. We're waiting to get back to some sense of normality in the world right now. We're waiting. But we're ultimately waiting for our Savior to return. What about that until that day comes? Well, Jesus told us we're to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We are meant to see, but also be part of God's kingdom grow and advance here on earth as it is in heaven. As the captives are set free. As the good news is proclaimed to those who have no hope. As the blind receive sight again. As the lame walk. We're meant to see miracles take place. We're meant to see heaven come to earth. What we see in Israel going down to Egypt and waiting as sojourners for this promised land, in essence, is a prophetic image of the church, where we are waiting in a land where we are just sojourners. We are aliens. We are just waiting. We're passing through, waiting for the place that God is preparing for us. And we're meant to be in this world, but not of it. We're meant to be people who live out the values of heaven and God's kingdom values here on earth. That's why we pray, on earth as it is in heaven. Kingdom values, not the values and desiring the things of the flesh, but being pursuing after the things of God's kingdom. Peter, 1 Peter 2:11 says this, Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. We're meant to be in this world, but not of it. But friends, I think sometimes we're guilty of just sitting tight, waiting for heaven. We're waiting until we get to go to eternity, and we just make do while we are here. You see, our salvation 100% reaches its fulfillment in eternity, where we enter into the fullness of what Christ has won at the cross of Calvary for his people. But we're meant to start experiencing our salvation here and now, as we live in a way that honours God and honours his kingdom. As we see his kingdom break out in the midst of this world, where we see hope being fed into the places where there's despair, where we speak life into the places where there is only death. Where there's fear, we speak the peace of God into it. Why? Because these are his kingdom values: peace and hope and love and faith and holiness and purity. God's people should be living in such a way that through their life, heaven is seen here on earth. When I was training for the ministry, we got to go on a couple of trips. First of all, we went to Germany, and the second one was we went to Israel, and it was a good trip. It was good fun, and it was very learnt a lot about things. But what I want to speak to you about this morning was our journey home. You might feel that was a weird thing to speak about after being in Israel, but I want to speak about our journey home. And it was one of those ones where we got to do some more sightseeing through the day, and our flight left later on in the evening. And we got to, I think it was Turkey, about like say midnight, and then our flight from Turkey to Edinburgh wasn't until about 8 in the morning. So there was a number of hours, maybe like 5, 6, 7 hours, where we were just waiting in the airport. Now, majority of people, they just went to the gate, and they were waiting at the gate, and they slept at the gate, or they tried to sleep there as for opening in the morning. But there's about 5 or 6 of us, I think, who were like, no way am I sitting at a gate all night, and off we went for a wee adventure. So we went for a walk just to kill some time, and we found this awesome lounge. And we got being Scottish, we got a cracking deal. We paid for 2, and we got all 5 of us in. So it was buy 2 and get 3 free or something crazy like that. And we walked in, and man, oh man, did we hit the jackpot. It was amazing. There was a buffet, there was free Wi-Fi, there was reclining chairs with chargers beside it. There were showers where we could get towels, and there was toothbrushes and toothpaste, and there was TVs, and oh, it was amazing. So we got freshened up, went for a shower, brushed our teeth, went and got a few hours kip on these comfy reclining chairs. We charged our iPhones and devices and stuff like that. We had some breakfast at the buffet in the morning, and then we walked back to the gate for the time we needed to be there. And I remember walking back, and it's just been like 2 different separate groups. There was us who were we were awake and chirpy and happy, and we just spent a good few hours in this lovely cozy lounge. And there was those who were sitting by the gate, and we all got to the same place. We all got to Edinburgh, but we both had very different experiences of waiting. Too many of us go and sit at the gate ready for departure. But actually God says, no, I have a plan for you here on earth. You are my hands and my feet. I have blessed you. And then that moves us on to our third point. It is a purposeful blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. Verses 27 and 28. Thus Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they gained possessions in it, and were fruitful and multiplied greatly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the days of Jacob, the years of his life, were 147 years. Very quickly, blessed to be a blessing. Why did God bless them with this great land? Well, what do we see here? Before we read that they were greatly blessed, we read that the people of Egypt were blessed, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. They were blessed to be a blessing. That was always part of God's plan for his people. He covenanted with Abraham, I will bless those who bless you. I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and through you, all nations will be blessed. You see, the famine couldn't stop God's people growing and multiplying. Why? Because God had covenanted with them that he was going to bless them. And there's purpose in that blessing. I will make of you a great nation, and through you all nations will be blessed. That's what we see happen. Pharaoh comes and he says that you can settle whatever you want. And Jacob blesses Pharaoh. He blessed Pharaoh. You see, we are meant to be a blessed people, and we are a blessed people. And because we are a blessed people, we are meant to then be a blessing to those who are around us. We aren't meant to hold on to what God has given us. We're not meant to hold on to it. We're meant to give it away. We're meant to give it away. We're meant to bless people. Our parish should be blessed because Sandy Hills Church is here. Not because we are special or we are great in any way, but because of whose blessings have been bestowed upon us, and that is God Almighty and His promised presence with us. You see, we are God's plan for this world. He has sent us into the nations. His church is plan A. He doesn't have a plan B. We are His hands and His feet, and He's blessed us so much, but so often we sit upon that blessing. And if I could just maybe pull that airport analogy a wee bit further, you see, in some ways, maybe we were a wee bit greedy holding on to that ourselves, and one of us should have gone back to the group waiting at the gate saying, "Do you know what, friends? Come with us. We found this amazing place." But we didn't do that. We were too busy enjoying it ourselves. And we see something in the nature of God when He's covenanted, "I will, I will, I will." You see, it is all of Him, but He uses us. We are His vessels. We are the clay, and He is the potter. And God is an expert in bringing hope out of hopeless situations. And in Abraham's obedience to leaving his place and going to this land that God hadn't even showed him yet, he became a medium of blessing for all others, a blessing for families and the nations, because Jesus would eventually come through his line. And just in closing, the blessings that God pours out upon his people, they're there because he loves us and he's faithful and he wants to lavish good gifts upon us. But he wants to display his glory through us so that others will in turn be blessed. How are you using the blessings that God has given you and bestowed upon you to bless others? Remember, everything that we have, our time, our talents, our money, it is all a gift from God that we're meant to use as his people in his service and for his glory. Your skills and your talents and your time and your finances, everything you have is a gift from God. And maybe this morning God has laying his finger upon one of those saying, "You know what, you've been holding on to that, it's becoming an idol." Whether it's your time, or maybe it's some talents that you have, or maybe it's your money or your possessions. Let me say this to you. Jesus teaches us that we can only serve one master. What blessings has God given you? Let him show his power and his love through you. Friends, we have the best news in the world. We have the best news in the world. And our world needs good news, doesn't it? It needs hope. We have the hope of glory in the gospel that Jesus has given us. When was the last time that you shared Jesus with somebody? When was the last time that I told someone about Jesus? When was the last time we were obedient and stepped out in faith and were bold in our faith and said, "Do you know what? God loves you. Let me pray for you in that situation." Here's a challenge that I want us to commit to as a church. I want us to begin to pray for three people who aren't Christians every day. I want us to choose three people. And we will pray every day for them. And pray that they would come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And that God would give us the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And maybe right now three people have already popped into your head. Well, I want you to write their name down somewhere. Maybe even on the inside of your Bible so that you know that they are there and you are praying for them every day. Let us commit to pray for them. Because we have this good news that we have been given not to hoard or hold on to, but to spread it and to share it with any and all who will listen. We are blessed to be a blessing. Amen.